Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Parks. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Friend or foe? The practice? Be friendly. Why? Friendliness is a down-to-earth approach to others that is welcoming and positive. Think about a time when someone was friendly to you, maybe drawing you into a gathering, saying hello on the sidewalk, or smiling from across the room. How did that make you feel? Probably more included, more comfortable, and at ease. Safer, more open, and warm-hearted. When you are friendly to others, you offer them these same benefits. Plus, you get rewarded yourself. Being friendly feels confident and happy, with a positive take on other people, moving toward the world instead of backing away from it. And it encourages others to be less guarded or reactive with you, since you're answering the ancient question from millions of years of evolution: friend or foe, with an open hand and heart. In its own quiet way, ordinary friendliness takes a stand that is almost subversive these days, that the world has many more opportunities than threats, that most people want the best for others, that simple, informal human connections tie this battered old planet together much more than jumbo corporations or mass media flickering on the walls of our upholstered caves. How? You can be friendly with intimates and strangers, coworkers and in-laws, babies and bosses, even those you know only in the abstract, like people on the other side of the world. Of course, it is not always appropriate to be friendly with someone, such as to an adversary or to someone who would misunderstand you. But opportunities for greater friendliness are probably all around you this week. To warm up your brain's circuits of friendliness, you could try one or more of these. Recall being with someone who cares about you. Remember someone was friendly to you. Bring to mind a time when you were friendly to someone. Get a sense of the posture, movements, gestures, and facial expressions of a person who you know is naturally friendly. Relax your body into a feeling of friendliness, leaning forward a little rather than back, softening and opening your chest, face, and eyes, breathing goodwill in and out. Then, look for everyday opportunities to be friendly. Often you'll just give a smile, handshake, or nod, and that's plenty. Maybe it's offering a few minutes to talk, or a morning hug, or a goodnight kiss. or an extra touch of warmth in an email. Stretch yourself, but stay within the range of whatever is authentic. Remember that friendliness is not agreement or approval. It does not mean that you have given up on whatever your stances may be in the relationship. Friendliness does not equal friendship. In truth, most relationships are with friendly acquaintances. Consider your family and friends. What about being more friendly with your lover or mate? Having worked with couples for many years, it's painful to see how often basic friendliness is a casualty in a long-term relationship. Or being more friendly toward parents, siblings, or your own children. Again, it's startling how easily friendliness can be crowded out of our most important relationships by busyness, little irritations and hurts, or weariness from working too hard. But bits of friendliness sprinkled here and there can be absolutely transformational in a relationship. Try it and see. Also consider being friendlier toward people you might normally ignore or treat with distance, even coolness, such as waitstaff in restaurants, someone shuttling you to the airport, or breaking the big taboo, strangers in elevator. Last and not least, there is friendliness toward animals. Great and small, seen and unseen, omitting none. Friendliness towards plants, towards your body, and yourself. Even friendliness toward inanimate objects. Greeting the door before you open it. The ground about to meet your feet. Not slamming the drawer in, but instead wishing it well. Welcoming the cup rising to your lips. See what happens. Take in the rewards, like one small log after another, fueling that warm, glowing fire on the hearth of your heart. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. Brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Be trustworthy yourself so that others do not fear that you will let them down. And here's another Just One Thing. Who is behind the mask? The practice? See the person behind the eyes. Why? Most of us wear a kind of mask, a persona that hides our deepest thoughts and feelings and presents a polished, controlled face to the world. To be sure, a persona is a good thing to have. For example, meetings at work, holidays with the in-laws, or a first date are usually not the best time to spill your guts. Just because you're selective about what you reveal to the world does not mean that you're insincere. Phoniness is only when we lie about what's really going on inside. Much of the time, we interact mask to mask with other people. There's a place for that. But remember the times when someone saw through your mask to the real you, the person back behind your eyes. If you're like me, those times were both unnerving and wonderful. Even though it's scary, everyone longs to be seen, to be known, to have your hopes and fears acknowledged, the ones behind a polite smile or a frown of frustration. To have your true caring seen, as well as your positive intentions and natural goodness. Most intimately of all, to feel that your innermost being, the one to whom things happen, the one strapped to this roller coaster of a life, trying to make sense of it before it ends, has been recognized by someone. This goes both ways. Others long to be seen by you. Besides the ways that seeing the person behind the eyes benefits others, it's good for you too. Being seen is often the real stake on the table, the top priority, more important to other people than whether you agree with them about something. When someone gets that sense from you, that he or she exists for you as a person, not just as a pain in the neck or as someone to manage to get through this meeting, dinner, bedtime routine, phone call, or sexual experience, then it's much easier to take care of the matter at hand, whatever it is. Sensing the deepest layers in people can nourish you in other ways, too. For example, I had a relative with a big heart but a difficult personality that drove me a little crazy. Finally, I started to imagine that being with her was like looking at a bonfire through a lattice covered with thorny vines. I focused on the love shining through and warming my own heart and didn't get caught up in the vines. That helped us both a lot. How? This week, with different people, get a sense of the person behind the eyes. It's not a staring contest. It can actually help to look away so you're not distracted by surface details. While I'm using the word see, of course, you are also hearing the person behind the words, sensing the person embedded in the body sitting across from you. Take a moment to relax and set aside your case about the other person and open to the being down in there somewhere, maybe rattled and defensive and acting in ways that are problematic, but really just yearning for happiness and some way to move forward in life. You could also sense your own innermost being, and then imagine that core, that sense of being alive, the recipient of experiences, the one for whom life is hard sometimes, inside the other person. Let that recognition of that person over there show in your face, in your own eyes. Be brave and let them see you seeing them. Notice how this recognition changes the course of an interaction, perhaps softening it, making it more authentic, leading to a good resolution more gently and quickly. As an advanced practice, you could even raise the subject with someone of the degree to which you feel seen or not as persons by each other. That kind of conversation can transform a relationship. Last, enjoy being a person yourself, the channel through which your life streams, with some of the richest streaming being the other persons all around you. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another from Dr. Rick Hansen. What do you notice in people? The practice? See the good in others. Why? Many interactions these days have a kind of bumper car quality to them. At work, at home, on the telephone, via email, we sort of bounce off of each other while we exchange information, smile or frown, and move on. How often do we actually take the extra few seconds to get a sense of what's inside other people, especially their good qualities? In fact, because of what scientists call the brain's negativity bias, we're most likely to notice the bad qualities in others rather than the good ones, the things that worry or annoy us or make us critical. Unfortunately, if you feel surrounded by lots of bad or at best neutral qualities in others, and only a sprinkling of dimly sensed good ones, then you naturally feel less supported, less safe, and less inclined to be generous or pursue your dreams. Plus, in a circular way, when another person gets the feeling that you don't really see much that's good in him or her, that person is less likely to take the time to see much that's good in you. Seeing the good in others is thus a simple but very powerful way to feel happier and more confident, and become more loving and more productive in the world. How? Slow down. Step out of the bumper car and spend a few moments being curious about the good qualities in the other person. You are not looking through rose-colored glasses. Instead, you are opening your eyes, taking off the smog-colored glasses of the negativity bias, and seeing what the facts really are. See positive intentions. Recently, I was at the dentist's, and her assistant told me a long story about her electric company. My mouth was full of cotton wads, and I didn't feel interested. But then, I started noticing her underlying aims: to put me at ease, fill the time until she could pull the cotton out, and connect with each other as people. Maybe she could have pursued these aims in better ways, but the aims themselves were positive, which is true of all fundamental wants, even if the methods used to fulfill them have problems. For example, a toddler throwing mashed potatoes wants fun, a teenager dripping with attitude wants higher status, and a mate who avoids housework wants leisure. Try to see the good intentions in the people around you. In particular, sense the longing to be happy in the heart of every person. See abilities. Going through school, I was very young and therefore routinely picked last for teams in PE. Not good for a guy's self-esteem. Then, my first year at UCLA, I gave intramural touch football a try. We had a great quarterback who was too small for college football. After one practice, he told me in passing, "You're good. I'm going to throw to you." I was floored. But this was the beginning of me realizing that I was actually quite a good athlete. His recognition also made me play better, which helped our team. 35 years later, I can still remember his comment. He had no idea of its impact, yet it was a major boost to my sense of worth. In the same way, unseen ripples spread far and wide when we see abilities in others, especially if we acknowledge them openly. See positive character traits. Unless you're surrounded by deadbeats and sociopaths, everyone you know must have many virtues such as determination, generosity, kindness, patience, energy, grit, honesty, fairness, or compassion. Take a moment to observe virtues in others. You could make a list of virtues in key people in your life, even in people who are challenging for you. Last and not least, recognize that the good you see in others is also in you. You couldn't see that good if you did not have an inkling of what it was. You too have positive intentions, real abilities, and virtues of the mind and heart. Those qualities are a fact, as much a fact as the chair that you're sitting on. Take a moment to let that fact sink in. You don't need a halo to be a truly good person. You are a truly good person. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And now we have a few minutes left for some questions and answers from Ask Dr. Rick. Dear Dr. Rick, you've said that love and compassion can combat anxiety. How do they do that? Answer. Offline, when you do not feel threatened, deepen the sense of feeling connected by routinely taking in experiences of feeling cared about. Then, at times that you do feel threatened or anxious, call up the body sense of feeling cared about. Stay strong with this, being a good friend to yourself, helping your mind stay focused on the sense of having allies, being part of a group, feeling included, liked, and loved. Dear Dr. Rick, when you say to think of someone who loves you, I think it can be quite painful for people who actually can't think of anyone. Not everyone has someone who truly loves them. Answer. I really hear you about the risks in trying to think of someone who loves you. That's why I always try to speak in broader terms of looking for ways to feel cared about, and usually list 5 aspects of being cared about: being included, seen, appreciated, liked, or loved. I stress that it is important to look for mild, everyday moments of being cared about in one of these ways, such as your dog wanting to go for a walk with you, coworkers appreciating your idea in a meeting, or a moment of friendliness with someone. In other words, even if someone has not been loved, or has been but can't feel it, there are still many other ways to feel cared about, which is indeed very important to us as the most social species on the planet. We need to feel cared about in the psychological sphere as much as we need water in the physiological sphere. I also suggest that people open to feeling caring, since caring is caring, whether it is flowing out or flowing in. Dear Dr. Rick, I feel very isolated and unconnected to the world. How can one find strength to face challenges without loving relationships and family support? Answer. First, I would suggest pushing yourself into situations in which you can form new good relationships of various kinds. Some of the best settings are low-key classes such as introductory ceramics and service projects in which good people come together in a common cause. I'm a shy person myself, and I get what is hard about actually taking this advice, but there is no replacement for it. Second, there are many sources of resilient well-being that do not depend on relationships. My programs and writings get at this in depth, and I suggest you check out Hardwiring Happiness in particular. And third, even with limitations in human relationships and relative isolation, you can feel related to the natural world, and you can feel and focus on your own naturally warm and caring heart. Even if love is not flowing in, you can be fed by love flowing out. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix in Parks. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.